That's where I find God. Come along with us as we discuss our heritage for our legacies.
Welcome to our journey.
Hey, y'all, this is Michael.
This is Keith.
And we come to you today. Today's Wednesday, the 27th of September. We got a couple of guests coming in on via iPhone. We got Jamie Vail and old Mike Mercer. Mike's been a good friend of mine for, you know, since my days up in Douglas. I guess that was around 95, 96.
It was way back there.
Yeah. It's back there a few days. But yeah. Me and Mike talk quite often on the phone and in the mornings, and we text back and to quite a bit. But here lately, he's had a little pressure on him. He shared his thoughts on a social media site, and it got some attention. It really, really kind of got on some people's nerves, but there's a lot of people out there that know that he was telling the truth, and I wanted him to come on here and kind of say what he had to say. What you got, Keith?
Well, this week when Michael told me, I said I think it's a timely thing, and he told me to elaborate on it. I just said, I think that we're going in a direction where things like this are going to happen more frequently. In my thought process is how I thought about that. And, you know, more of what we're seeing is where people are just standing up and saying, right's right, wrong's wrong. There's no in between. There's no... there's no choice.
Well, there's a choice, but it's either right or wrong.
But what I'm saying is you don't have a choice of whether it's right or wrong. It's either right or it's wrong.
Yeah.
There's no in between. You can't say, well, it's almost right or it's halfway right. It's right or it's wrong, and it's sin or it's not. And you know, I had a conversation with Liz Ann last week, and that was the one thing I told her. I said, you can't straddle the fence. I said, you got to make a decision in life, because we're called to do that spiritually. Well, if we're called to do that spiritually, we got to do it on multiple fronts. We can't just say, well, that's church, and then we say, well, this is life over here. We can kind of pick and choose how we want to do it. No, we have to either stand for right or we stand for wrong.
Yes.
And so, you know, I don't want to elaborate any more on that, because I think we've got better things to elaborate on.
Yeah, and I wanted to say that in this podcast, there may be some out there to get offended. Like Keith said, you got to be on the right side or you got to be on the wrong side. Either we're going to share truth or we ain't going to share it all.
Right.
That's what we're here for, is sharing the truth and the gospel and the faith and family and everything else. So hold on.
Yeah.
Let's go. Tell me about it, Mike.
Well, you got to think that the church is more than the, in my lifetime, there's so much more stuff tolerated now than there was 30 years ago. I mean, the Bible didn't change, but people seems to be changing it to conform to what they want to do.
Yeah.
That make any sense?
Absolutely.
And, if anybody should stand up for right and wrong, it should be the church.
Yeah,
we all got separate ways of thinking, or there wouldn't be so many denominations now. But
yeah,
still, the root of it all is what's right and what's wrong. Just like Keith said, And my little issue was I heard about a boy going in a girl's bathroom at a school, a local, you know, around here. And the girls were offended by it, but he identifies himself as a girl. So he's just going in there, like, and he's pushing his way in there. He don't consider anybody else's feelings. So I said something about it on Snapchat, and I only sent it to my friends, but it made some of them mad, and I didn't care. Because somebody needs to talk about this stuff, man.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, who else is going to say anything?
You're absolutely right.
The Christian people has sat down and allowed this to take place.
Yeah, it started when they removed God from the schools.
Right.
You know, and I was talking with a guy today that, you know, he was reminding me, if you look at Harvard University, you're not allowed to say God on that campus.
I wouldn't be there.
Right.
Exactly. And that's what the world's come to. And we got to get that back.
The fear of God's gone.
Yeah. Right.
There's more fear in people than there is in God.
It's worrying about hurting somebody's feelings.
Right.
Everybody wears their feelings out on their shirt sleeves nowadays.
It ain't all about you.
The other side is using this against all of us.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. One of the biggest things, with the whole thing is people, they've shifted the laws and things to uphold sin and what the world agenda is.
That's
and
right.
You got so many believers that are afraid to go to jail for standing on the truth when everything that we read about in scripture, all the icons in the Bible, they wrote their epistles and things in prison.
That's right.
It's a good
because they were standing on the truth.
It's a good thing the disciples didn't do that.
Right. You know, and so but here we are nowadays, you know. And the Bible told us they was going to look to change the times and the seasons, the laws, times and the seasons, and we're in that right now.
Yeah.
And we don't have anybody, I won't say anybody, you have a select few that are willing to stand and declare what thus says the Lord, regardless of what. You know, just like when you put that post up, you put that on your snap, talking about the truth. Anytime you get somebody that's saying that they're a Christian, and they have an opinion about all of these things that these laws and things are allowing, you can already know that they're not part of the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Because the word of God takes away our opinion. We don't have an opinion about anything. The word of God, if the word of God calls it an abomination, then guess what? That's just what it is. It's abomination. It's wrong. And so you got so many people that are afraid to stand on that. There because of the persecution, the kickback, and all of these things here, you know, getting put in Facebook jail and all this other foolery. They're afraid of those things. And then when you get out here in the world and you see all of these things, like the man going into the women's bathroom, and they're numbing the societies and the communities to these things here and making it be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And ain't nobody saying anything. Nobody's saying anything because the ones that can be that should be saying anything, they're silent right now.
Right.
Well, TV evangelists, I've seen, I don't know how many, on Oprah or whatever, they always ask them that question, what do they think about just that one particular subject, the gays, and they'll none of them stand on the word.
None of them.
I've watched several of them. They're scared to say anything. I don't know because it'll mess up their book sales or what the deal is, but
yeah,
to me that flat just ain't right.
Well, we're supposed to love. Said,
they're straddling the fence,
right? But we're supposed to love everybody, but we don't
That's different.
We don't agree with if we don't agree with their way of life, then we're supposed to let them know.
You can tell somebody they're wrong in love.
That's yeah. right. Yeah, but in these days, it's hard to do that because people get so out of shape.
Jamie hit on it. There was a shift made. The shift was mm-hmm. made in society. And the problem was, what Mike said, the church didn't stop it. The church right. didn't say, okay, this is not going to fly. And now we've come to a point where, and here's where I'm going to step back, because as a pastor, I have to think about this. I can look at the TV evangelists, the TV preachers, the artists, and all that, and I'm going to say this. I disagree with a lot of them. But what we also have to keep in mind is that the Holy Spirit can still be working through them, even oh, yeah. when they're not standing where they should be. And that's where we've got to start standing up and not depending on
what a preacher says.
What a preacher says. And I've told family, and I hate to be this way, I've told family, because that's what our church is, I don't want to hear from the public, you ought to hear what my preacher says. I've heard that time and time again from people talking about their preacher, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't want to hear what your preacher says. I want to hear what the Bible says. And if he's not teaching what the Bible says, I don't give a rip what he's saying.
That's right.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like they are our representative, though, if we got one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's the sad part now, is that it's the gong, the clanging gong. Yeah. Well, the loudest ones are the ones that are being heard, and they're representing the church. And the world's looking at us going, y'all bunch of
idiots.
Idiots. Y'all can't even get together.
Why would I want that?
And that's what we've got to keep in mind. Because there's a world out there that's looking at this stuff that we're talking about, and they still have morality. And they're going, wait a second, this ain't right. And that's where God's telling us, y'all are here for this time.
That's right.
And I think it's going to take a lot more than the preachers. It's going to take the people in the church standing up and saying, hey, this is what I believe. This is what the Bible says, and I'm standing on it.
Well, that's where we need stronger men in our country.
Well, men's getting watered down to start with.
Yes. And go ahead, Jamie.
Oh, you go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was going to share a little bit of a podcast that I heard, you know, Mark Driscoll. Mm-hmm. Reclaim Your Manhood.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that, you know, I was gonna play it and we were gonna talk about it, but I ain't even put it together. So there's some things in there that he quotes some stats and stuff, and but he's right. He's dead on a lot of this stuff, because, you know, men have gotten weaker and the government's gotten stronger. If we had stronger men standing up and keeping the law and order in our areas for the church, we wouldn't have to have a government so big. You know, it would decrease the size of government.
Oh, yeah.
Because we would be able to stand up and take care of our own. But we don't have that.
No.
And that's what we're trying to do here in this men's thing that we've got coming up. We want to make men stronger, make them feel, you know, build them up. So they're tougher.
It's your job.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your job to be a daddy, to be a husband, to be a man about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he goes on to talk about, what is it, the launching of young men. They're not doing it nowadays. They're not getting out.
Well, like, I told my girl, who was telling me about this, I said, look, baby, I said, nobody didn't even have to know about that back in my day. because some of the boys would have got together and put a stop to that.
Yeah, the principal wouldn't have nothing to do with it.
Right.
The principal probably would have never even known about it.
That's right.
Well, he'd have known about it after the fact.
Yeah. After we all got suspended.
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
But the thing is, they have programmed them to be scared to say anything.
Yep.
They got this thing that they're pushing, this whole snitch thing. And it's a bad thing if you're a snitch. If you go, you'd be a tattletale and this, that, and the other, and you got people. I did a funeral several months back. 24-year-old guy got killed. Good kid in the community. That never got in trouble or anything. But from my understanding, somebody that he was a relative of, you know, that was in this little drug gang or whatever the case may be, and just retaliation, they went at him. They killed him. Just pulled up to him, shot him, and killed him. Yeah. And right at the funeral, I mean, there was probably 100, 200, you know, young people out there. And right midstream, I just stopped and I said, you know, the sad thing about us being here burying this young man today is one of y'all around here know exactly what happened to him, know who did it, and know that this is coming, know that this even could have been prevented. I said, but because y'all got this little brother code that y'all think is the brother code that nobody's going to snitch. I'm not a snitch. Nobody's going to say anything. And this stuff like this is going to continue to happen. And that's exactly what's happening all over this world. But, you know, you got so many people are being killed. And so many evil things are happening. You know, like this agenda, like what you were talking about happened at the school, you know, with that young man going into that bathroom. We don't have we don't have godly communities anymore. There is no discipleship anymore. Jesus turned to his disciples. He said, "You go make disciples of men. Make disciples of men." We don't have the ones that have time or take time to even try to disciple any. They get put up under so much fire, and it is so taxing. It's so hard. To just to get men folk just together because of what this society, what this world have done to them. And so, you know, that's why I'm so excited about November the 18th. There, and I don't care if it ain't nobody but me just sitting there. I'm going to be there because, you know, in these days to come, if, you know, Bible says, forsake not the assembling together of the brethren, you know, who can bond together in the bonds of unity and in peace. If we can't sit down as men and just talk, then man, what this world is shaping up to be, we're gonna be in trouble.
That's right.
That's right.
Yep.
We're gonna be in so much trouble, and all of these different agendas that they're pushing out here, all of these things are just distractions. They're distractions, and a lot of the ones that should be standing up and declaring what thus says the Lord, they're putting their tail between their legs and they're running.
That's right.
They're being quiet. And the ones that have the big platform that should be speaking out against these things, they're not. They're not saying anything because they're afraid that they're going my tithes and offering right.
That's
now.
It.
I'm not going to be it. And that's what it has come down to. It has come down to the mighty dollar. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's so much evilness that's now in our local congregations and bodies that, well, it's just ridiculous. The power is not where it need to be.
No.
Yeah. People come to church, leave church the same.
Yeah.
Come to church, have no counter encounter. They come and they're entertained, but they're never edified. They're never built up. They're never. And we're wondering what's happening. Well, what's happening is you're compromising the gospel. That's what's happening.
So, well, most people that go to church goes because of tradition.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? They just go because that's what you're supposed to do on Sunday morning.
Yep. And not to go get filled.
It's a social event.
Yeah. At a lot of places it is. It's a social event.
You'll see them same people at weddings and funerals too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's turned into, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. there is.
And a lot of them show up just for the meal.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
They're not there for the meal.
The real
meat.
Food.
The meat, right.
The real food.
Right. Well, and that's how we got a chance. And when Jamie and we all kind of started talking and this whole thing kind of kicked off, I think it was because we were looking at one another, scratching our heads and going, wait a second, people's thinking exactly what I've been thinking.
Yeah. I remember talking.
I've seen a lot of people. Go ahead, Mark.
I remember talking to Jamie Vail before we started doing these podcasts. I was walking around in this sanctuary talking to him on the phone.
That's right.
I told him that we was going to do this. It took months to make it happen, but I told him that we was going to make a difference. We were going to get our communities together, and that's what we're trying to do, get our communities together and make our men stronger.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that I wouldn't have never thought is flipping sides, getting saved, and living right. That I would have never dreamed.
Well,
I mean, there's a little church in a little community around me that is full of outlaws. People that I know that's been just pure outlaws.
In the clubs the where church, you was playing?
Well, not only that.
You can't say much now. I was there.
into some serious stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a lady. It's her church, and I know this lady well, and she's a godly lady, but she's got a whole church full of them.
Yeah,
and they are on fire.
And on fire for the Lord,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
In other words, just as much effort as they put into sinning, they putting into the other.
That's
it.
You know what I'm saying?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, these people's been rough now, rough folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and that tickles me to see that.
Well,
I'm one of them.
and that's the deal, Mike, that the church hasn't caught a hold of. And that was kind of like what we was talking about a while ago. With the big churches, where the money is, you really see that the focus isn't outward. Yeah, they're on TV. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're doing this. Yeah, they're doing. But where's the focus? The focus is still on keeping decorum, so you still get your tithes and offerings, and you don't upset people. And
yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'd much rather have a church full of people that don't know no better.
Well,
then, because they're going to step out of the boundaries of what the church says is okay. And they're going to reach people outside the four walls.
So Keith was pretty.
You just got to read the Bible, and everybody he used was pretty much
exactly.
Like
yeah.
It was.
Because they appreciated it when they got it.
For him to do what he did to me, he can do it to anybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For saving my life, me giving my life to him, I ain't going back.
No.
Not with the joy that I feel.
You can't. How can you go back from
it's too
from,
good.
From this, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that I tell people. You know, when you are talking to people, you know, about Jesus Christ, all right? And the way that the world is taking Jesus out of everything, taking God out of everything, yeah, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit to minister to the gospel to people that have yet to understand and know who he is, right? Because the moment that you say Jesus to people, they already want to run. They want to want to build up a defense. They want to shut you out.
Yeah.
So what I've stopped doing is I've stopped leading with Jesus. I just start leading with love and telling them how much God loved them.
Yeah.
You know? And that has been, man, that has been absolutely wonderful. I was on live 2 weeks ago, and my niece was, she was listening to me. She's a home healthcare nurse. And the patient said, who are you listening to? What are you listening to? And she said, said, I'm listening to my uncle. You know, he's teaching on Facebook Live. She said, and it acts like a new year. So she turned it over. And man, at the end, when I got done, they gave me like that. That man say he was hurt in the church. Hadn't been to church in years. All those things there. But once I got done there, he gave his life back to the Lord.
Amen.
And mm-hmm. said, and when his family came home that day, there that whole family, that following service, that following Sunday, that was a Friday, that following week Sunday, there the whole family started back going to church. Just because of what the man did, just because of what mm-hmm. the daddy did.
Yeah.
Yes.
They all been going to church. When I talked to her the other day, they still going right on.
Right. Good deal.
Yeah. And so that's what we're missing. You know, it's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about, it ain't got nothing to do with me.
No.
Nope.
It's all about, you know, what he wants me to do and what he wants me to say, just like I told Jeremiah.
It's how you went about it.
Yes, sir.
Because the reason when you say Jesus to somebody, they kind of get defensive is because they've been condemned by somebody in church.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. They don't want to hear that.
No.
They've been done by wrong.
Exactly. And that is what it is now. Like I told Michael, you might not want me on there because I'm probably going to make somebody mad.
Well,
and that's the truth.
Here's the thing. Too many times we've got people in the church screaming, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And yet what they're not doing is living what Jesus told us to live. And
well, that too.
And so then when those of us that come along and would try to say, you know, Jesus, they're looking at us going, wait a second, what you fixing to say? And they turn their ears off. And like Jamie says, he leads with love. Well, that's what Christ did. And
exactly.
So,
read the Bible.
That's it. And so, you know, that's where if somebody tells me, wait a second, you're different. Great. We on the same page, you know.
Exactly.
Because the way that the church, especially in America, has gone, we don't need to hold on to that and keep saying, this is what we need to do. And it's proven itself because of where we're at now, and we're looking at it, and we're going, you know, if somebody called me up and said, hey, I heard that podcast, y'all need to back off, then I'm going in the right direction.
That's exactly right. We're going twice as hard.
We're going in the right direction, you know.
Yeah. One of them people probably that picks and choose what scriptures they want to believe.
That's right.
Yeah, and so instead of us tapping the brakes like most do, that's when we need to hit the gas pedal.
Shifting gears.
Yeah.
Jesus walks up on a lady. They fit the killer for what she done, and he pretty much made them all look like a fool.
Right. Yep.
And then told the lady, he said, honey, I don't condemn you. Just don't do it no more.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, but so many people take something that people have done.
Yeah.
And they'll make them pay for it for the rest of their life.
Right. Won't let it go. Yep. Won't let it go. That's right.
And lack of forgiveness.
And it's that very thing.
And it turns people off.
Exactly.
It does, man. And that thing there, boy, is so bad. So bad to the point to where that's why it's hard when you minister to men, trying to get men. That's a lot of the men, you know, that have, you know, been to jail or have been through something or whatever the case may be. It's hard to get them to even sit down and have a reasonable conversation with them because they're so used to being beat up.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
they own the defense.
Yeah. And so
they got a wall up.
They've always been, you know, talked about, you know, for what they're doing and what they did and all of those things there. And you know, I was talking to this guy, and man, when I tell you, this guy here, you know, he smelled like what he was selling. and his thing was, man, he was like, man, he said, you actually sitting there talking to me? And I was like, yeah, something wrong with you.
Right.
And he was like, man, don't nobody sit and have a conversation when you talk to me. Everybody want to talk down to me because they know I sell drugs and they know I do this and I know I do that, this, that, and other. I said, all of us do something. I said, all of us do something.
Yeah.
I said, I'm no better than you.
Exactly.
And I said, I just saw somebody over here that I wanted to come have a conversation with. I said, if you don't want to talk to me, I'm cool. I'll go find somebody else to talk to. And I went to walk off. And he was like, hey, man, no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know? And he was like, man, what is it with you? I was like, man, what you mean, what is it with me? I said, I was just trying to have a conversation. All these people out here, man, and I see somebody over here, you know, all these people that you sitting over here by yourself. Like, why are you? You ain't got to be like that. It's all these people out here. And he said, man, you know how many times I don't get noticed? I'm like, dude, you 6'8", 270. How you don't get noticed?
I see it. We got to quit avoiding people.
Yeah.
And we've got to, it's got to be taught. I mean, it's not something that is just going to happen.
Right.
And that's why these conversations are so important when we're talking about men, because men don't know how to have conversations a lot of times in a setting to where we're building each other up for the kingdom.
Right.
We can build each other up for sports.
Yeah.
We can build each other up to eat, you know. But what about the kingdom?
Right.
You know, and the sad part is, it ain't got nothing to do with church in a building. You don't have to get cleaned up. You just got
come
to,
dirty.
Yeah, you just got, he's waiting to meet you.
That's right.
And that's where I think that these times have become so important, because it is discipleship. Discipleship isn't just, you know, it's not like going to school where you just learning for the sake of learning. That's why I didn't do real good in school, because I didn't see a point in just doing something for the sake of doing it. And when it changes a person, well, Michael's a good example.
Come on.
I mean, I looked up to him as a cousin. I didn't know a lot about all the stuff he did. Why? Because I'm the little cousin, you know, and then I become the preacher. Well, you keep that away from the preacher, little cousin. But when he came to me and he said, dude, what about this? Well, let's talk about it. Well, I need to get married. Can we do that? Yeah, I'd rather you be living with your wife than living with somebody else. You know, let's do what makes the righteousness of God be evident in your life instead of all these other things. And when we encourage each other in that way, think about what it's going to do. You know, me coming by the church this week and somebody sitting out in the front, and I knew who it was when I pulled up. I pulled through, dumped trash, and pulled back out there and, what you up to this morning? I just come by to say my prayers. I didn't say, well, why wasn't you here on Sunday morning? I looked at him and I said, well, that's a good thing to do.
Hey, at least he know where to go.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know, and that's where I think we've got to start. We got to start where they are. You know,
well, you got to stop making people feel bad.
Right.
Yep.
And when we stop and see people where they are and begin to encourage, to edify, to build them up instead of tearing them down. You know what? I guarantee you can go to any center and ask them, you know what you're doing wrong? They can tell you.
Yeah, they know.
So
yeah,
why
they
do we
know what they're doing?
What good does it do to beat them up about it?
That's
none.
Right.
Not a thing.
So, you know, that's where, as we encourage one another, we start making those impacts, because we're meeting people where they are. We're out, you know, in our sphere of influence. It's outside the church.
Definitely. Oh,
we are the church.
It definitely is.
In the world around us.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, I've been when I first got saved for real.
Was the first got saved for real. Come on, yeah, with it.
And I was doing construction, doing real well. And I had this, and no disrespect, I had this white guy that was working for me. And man, we worked together for a couple of years. And he was younger guy, but he stayed in trouble. And I was just trying to always for him, just trying to, you know, just be there for him. His family had not threw him away because he stayed in trouble. And I was looking for him one day to go to work, and I didn't see him. And he had not went to jail over the weekend. And that he ended up getting, I think he was in jail like anywhere between 3 to 5 years. And he got out. When he got out, he was looking for me, but I had not moved from where I lived at the last he knew before I was there. And so he looked for me for about a month, 2 months he was out. I was going to church one morning, and I saw a car sitting in the parking lot, because I'm always the first one at the church. I was like, okay, Lord, what we got going on here? And so when I pulled up there, and I pulled up, and when I got out the car, man, he jumped out the car and ran and just jumped in my arms.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, where in the world have you been? And he told me, man, I've been in prison. And he said, and I had no way of getting in touch with you, letting you know. He said, but the one place that I knew I would find you at, I would find you here.
Yeah.
If you weren't here, he said, somebody here knew yeah. where you were. And from that time until today, right there, I needed for that to happen to me, because, you know, I'm new in this thing. I don't know if I'm you know, if everything that I've done in the past, you know, all the wrong, all the hate, all the dirty stuff. I thought I had lived a life that was so terrible to where God couldn't possibly use me for anything.
Yeah.
There, and so when he did that, there, he said, man, I knew this place that you was going to be. There, and he said, man, I'm going to tell you. He said, I come to look you right in your face and tell you I will not be going back to jail for no foolery. There, he said, I'm going to be just like you. I said, no, you got to be better than me.
That's it.
You got to be better than me. And right now today, yeah, he put a post up the other day and told me he was 7-8 years sober, and he done got his kids back. All these things are happening for him. And it's just like y'all were saying, you know, you don't beat people up, you just love on people.
Yeah.
And be invited and just be inviting, you know, to people. And I'm telling you, people gonna think something wrong with you.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's probably been good for somebody to be a Christian their whole life, but
yeah,
being able to relate to somebody is a pretty good. That's a pretty good quality to have.
It is.
If you've been there and done that, and then you don't condemn them so much. You know where they're coming from.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know they just looking. They're searching for something that they just ain't found yet.
Well, yeah. I believe he allows us to go down different roads so we can relate with more people.
Absolutely.
And be able to start conversations and understand them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and tell them about him. So,
mm-hmm. I believe that. You got to befriend them and love them too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
And it'll all just fall in place.
Well, I believe
the opportunity. The opportunity will come up. You ain't just got to go to preaching to them right off the bat.
That's exactly right.
Because that's going to turn them off.
Yeah.
It is. It is. If Paul would have never been going to put more Christians in prison, he'd have never had his encounter with Jesus.
That's it.
Right. That's right. It.
Yeah, really. Talk about somebody to you.
Yeah.
Well, so we talked about kind of what Mike wants, you know, was talking about, and we covered a little bit extra, but JV, I know you wanted to cover something too about pressures of life.
Oh man, I've had two phone calls this week, man, of suicide, man. I'm talking about right in our community right there at home.
Oh, really?
Yes. I'm talking about 20, well, 21 of them, 20, 23, and the other one 27. Did them in the, went to the hospital. Blood pressure was sky high. And he wouldn't let them work on them. They checked themselves out. They just left the hospital. They didn't check themselves. They just left the hospital, whatever the case may be. There, and went, he was just trying to kill himself. And so they ended up sending the police to find him. To his mama house and all that. They ended up finding him. They sent him to Jacksonville over there. Had, they put him on the watch for a couple of days or whatever the case may be there. There, and then he actually had, he came to his senses a little bit from there, because when they released him, into to his sister and her husband, and so they was able to kind of get him to think a little bit different there and what have you. And so, you know, him and the other gentleman there, it just wasn't meant for him to do it. God wouldn't let it happen. He tried it, but it didn't work for him. And he just broke right there, like, okay, he was trying to kill myself. It ain't happening. So what do I do now? There, so they tell him, well, you need to call Jamie. There, and so people, man, our young people are under such a great attack right now. We're trying to fit in and trying to be like the Joneses, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't understand, you know, for the life of me, what kind of weights and pressures, you know, they have at such young age. But have a faith. Well, you know, we didn't have Facebook, social media, we didn't have social media and all this other stuff that they have and things of that nature there. We didn't have those things there. But it's bad, man. In the last 2 weeks, there, I've talked to three different people that have tried to kill themselves because of the pressures and the weights of this world.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just in one place.
Yes. And not
it's happening. It's happening everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, my thing is, my prayer is, I even went on live Monday, and that was my whole thing Monday. I was praying and just encouraging people, you know, hey, we need you here. Don't dare, you know, think that you know, you're doing us a favor by you taking your life and things like that. Yeah, but man, it's everywhere. We got so many people, man, that just feel like that's just better. And it's happening, like right now in this season that we're in. We're getting ready to go into one of the worst seasons of the year, this whole Halloween season.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just permission for the evil nuts out here just to do something.
To celebrate evil. Celebrate, you know, evil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and then this music that, oh my God, don't even get me started on that. We ain't got enough tape tonight to get started on that.
We got enough tape.
Man. It's digital.
You know, man, the music, man, that's out here is ridiculous, and it's conditioning the minds of people to think that there's no outlet but death. And
Yep. It's
ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous. And so I've been praying and asking the Lord to show me how to run some kind of interference in it. You know, at least with the ones that I'm able to talk to, because it's bad, and it's everywhere. It's not just me. It's young ladies too that's wanting to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you were sharing
even worse.
When you shared that with me that, you know, we needed to cover something on the podcast about, you know, the pressures of life, and you know, I kind of went through, you know, I looked at some different verses and stuff, and you know, trying to understand what he says about the pressures. And Keith's got, you know, one scripture that came up. You want to share that?
Yeah, I'm gonna read it from the Message. It's Luke 10:41-42 says, "The master said, Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course and won't be taken from her." And a lot of times, that's just it. We're fussing, we're carrying on about stuff that really doesn't amount to near what we make it amount to.
Right, we always blow it up.
You know, and a good example, a friend was talking about somebody and said, you know, if I could have bought them for what they thought they were worth and sold them, or bought them for what they were worth and sold them for what they thought they was worth, I could have made a mint off of them.
Yeah, you could have been rich.
We could have been rich because we have a way in which we make things bigger, and the enemy uses that against us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And on a daily basis, just, you know, I mean, now, all these things at our fingertips. My daughter's at Georgia Southern. I can look on 360 and see where she's going, when she's going, when she stops, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, 25 years ago when I went, if my mom and daddy got a phone call.
One a week. That was good.
You know, and my argument then was, hey, I'll call you if I need help.
That's right.
But you know, social media, all these forms of communication that are causing, and sometimes it is us having to go, you know what, maybe we do need to unplug.
Yeah. Well, another verse was Psalms 27:1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?"
Yeah.
And, you know, and that, if we were to turn our problems over to him sooner instead of us trying to fix them.
Yeah.
It would help. I ain't got to tell you how many times I've turned things over just this week.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, talking to somebody that, you know, well, you don't really know what somebody else is going through, to be able to relate or tell them what they need to hear, or so we just have to be loving at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we talked about this in previous podcast with Dave, and I can't remember exactly. I think he was talking about his buddy.
Yeah.
But it was.
Where is he, by the way?
David's chasing hornets.
He's still chasing hornets.
They still doing that?
Yeah. They're checking traps.
I hope they chase them and they don't come here.
Yeah.
Well.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's another story.
I think he's going to have three or four stories.
He's going to have three or four hours of what he's been doing. But he's texted me many a time saying, "I'm in the right place. God's got me here for a reason." And
I hope I'm sure he does.
There's two or three stories that he's in the right spot. So when he does come back, y'all get ready.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
No, but so me and Keith just trying to still keep it alive here. We know we're losing fans because, you know, David's not here, but
he has his followers.
Yeah, but yeah, he's got his followers.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that, we don't fear God in a way that we, the world, the enemy has taught us to fear. The fear of God is,
but we're fearing the wrong thing.
Well, what it is when it says fear God, It means that you fear the absence of God.
Yeah.
And people go, well, what do you mean by that? You should be so wrapped up in your relationship with God that you think, how could I do without him? You know, and I try to, you can't. I try to tell my wife that all the time. For me to think about.
For grounded people, we can't.
Right.
For those that don't know, those are the ones asking.
In a natural sense, it's almost bad, but I can't imagine myself without my wife, without that relationship. And that's a good thing if we can relate that to God the Father, in a sense to where it's the only way we would know a difference would be to experience it. And we fear that so much that we don't jeopardize that. Well, that's what it's talking about there, I believe, more so than an actual fear.
I do too.
It's that whole
thing is, I don't know about Michael or about any of the rest of you, but at the worst times in my life where I had done something and I knowed I had screwed up.
Yeah.
And there's been some serious things. Where do you think I went? Where did I go? Where do you think I went
to your knees.
Before I fell asleep that night?
Right.
So that's always been there for me. I can't imagine not having that.
Correct.
Right.
But see, that's where I think people have gotten to now is they don't have that. And that's why the world, society's in the shape it's in, because they've overcome that hole. Where we see it as a hole, a vacuum, it's pulling us towards it. The enemy has worked, and that's where we have to make it our goal. To bring that vacuum back to people
We kind of had an advantage because we grew up knowing about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And to be honest with you, probably somebody that never has heard the gospel and read the Bible or heard about the Bible or somebody told them about the Bible, it would probably be like a story book or like a
fairy tale.
Yeah, be like fairy tales. Because it's pretty far-fetched, some of it is.
Yeah. Well, and it's like you said a while ago. See, I grew up, I was the preacher's kid.
Right.
You know, and the thought that came to me was, you know, there were lines I didn't cross. Well,
right.
There was a fear of my mother finding out.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't really worried about the Lord, because she was going to take care of it before he had a chance to.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true.
And nowadays, you don't hear that. You hear this acceptance. Well, he's just
going... He's going through some things.
He's
going to grow out of it here shortly.
You know, that gets back to what Jamie's talking about.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
That's a lot of why that's running so rampant.
Right.
Because kids don't know that that's not right to do that.
And a lot of it comes down to...
And it ain't going to fix nothing either.
No.
Yeah, a lot of it's got...
It's going to make things worse.
Yeah.
Comes down to daddy's not being in the homes.
That's right.
And daddy's not being the man in the home.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I always made sure I spent a lot of time on my kids.
Yeah.
Because I see other people that lets the television or whatever raise them. And they, you know, I see how they act versus the way mine acts. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
I try to raise mine like I was raised. But now a lot of people that was raised the way I was raised is not doing that.
No.
No, they're not.
They're doing their own thing, and they're kind of neglecting their kids. So their kids is growing up learning things on their own, and that's a mistake.
Yeah. Well, yep. And that
you
was...
You two was raising these kids.
Exactly.
Right. You two.
You know,
and
that...
That's, and Jamie, that's what leads to what you talking about.
Exactly.
Yep. They had a... I showed this video, you know, some while back, you know, just to, you know, the young people, my nieces, them, I was showing them, you know, you can go on YouTube, they got somebody that actually teach you how to kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they actually teach you how to actually kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a YouTube channel.
And they won't cancel them.
Yeah, you can go on there and learn how to make meth, too.
Yep. You can anything that you want to find.
Or make a bomb.
Yep.
Make a bomb or whatever.
Yeah. And like I was telling my daughter them, I was like, you know, you got two kids. What you're not going to be is absent.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Y'all going to be involved. I mean, I'm talking to her husband too. y'all going to be involved. Those are my grandkids. Those are not my kids.
Exactly.
So, you know, y'all's gonna raise, and they do real good, you know, with them. You know, my oldest grandson, he's 4 years old, he's in pre-K. And, you know, they sent home, and he had some red marks for talking and just whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And he that's the first week he got that, second week he got the same thing. And ain't nobody been to the school yet. And I said, I said, how many more of these you need to get before somebody get up here to the school to let them know, let these teachers know that there's somebody that care about what he's doing up here.
Yeah.
Up there. And then they were like, you know what, that you got the what? Well, I'm going to leave work early tomorrow. Thank you.
Nice.
But you don't have, I see so many families to where that child, when that child go to school, that's like daycare.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's like daycare for so many people.
That's a break.
That's a break from that child, and they ain't fixing to go to that school, and they ain't fixing to do, they ain't fixing to be involved. They, none of those things.
If you wouldn't spare that rod, you wouldn't need a break so much.
Yeah.
Nice.
And man, it's so crazy. This what they call it nowadays, gentle parenting.
They can't even whip them in school no more.
Yeah, no, they can't. They cannot.
And I just don't understand that concept.
No.
You can't whoop them. But
you can't rule a classroom without them kids being scared of you.
That's right.
Man,
if they ain't, they'll run over you.
You got to have their respect.
That means a dog, a horse, a cow, whatever.
Yes. Man, if I got in trouble at school...
what you talking about? I was already beat before I got home.
Yeah, we beat ourselves down before we got home.
No, they beat you. They beat you at the school.
Yeah, that too.
I had some teachers I scared to death of.
Yes, sir.
Little old white-haired ladies. I had one in the fourth grade.
You too.
With a ruler. She walked around with a ruler, a wood ruler, and she would hit you right in the back of the head with it. And guess what? My mom and daddy didn't say a word.
No.
But now, if you do that now, the parents will be up there raising so much cane.
Yeah.
That's why they can't no more.
Yep.
It's ridiculous, man. It is so ridiculous that.
Yeah.
You know,
but all that stuff leads to what you was talking about. I mean, pretty much everything we talked about tonight leads to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's accepted. It's so many people. He's accepting these things. Nobody's saying anything about these things.
And it all falls back to the daddies.
It all falls back to the daddies.
Yeah.
They had a teacher up here week before last. She walked out of the school because they changed the curriculum up there, and they was teaching sex ed class in a kindergarten classroom.
See, that ain't that. I'm ain't,
glad
that
she
ain't
left.
Even,
I'm glad she walked
that
out.
that ain't even accepted.
Nah.
Yeah, she said she
that's just flat wrong.
Right.
Yeah,
it ain't the school's business to teach your kids about stuff like that. And at that age, they don't need to know about it no way.
Exactly. Nah.
Yep.
And that's where, you know,
That's why the church needs to take over the school system again.
Right. Well, exactly. And when Liz Ann went off to Statesboro a couple of weeks ago, I was over at Mama's and I was working. And I called her up and I said, "Baby, I said, I got to tell you, I miss you. I said, yep. You my boy, you my girl. I said, I can send you to the store, if it's the hardware store, the auto parts store." I said, "Mama, my mama, her Mimi, had to go to the hardware store. Well, for me, for something at her house. Well, she's trying to use
the wrong thing.
But she's trying to use FaceTime in the store and asking questions and I'm like, you know, if Liz Ann was here, boy, I could have just sent her up there. I could have kept on working. But I mean, and hey, my mama's 77 years old. She just had a hip replacement while we was on vacation, and I mean, she can use FaceTime.
Let's don't even get started with that.
But to you
my
know,
my mama's 80, and she just. She should never mess with technology.
Hey, well,
hey, you leave Miss Kitty alone.
I've always.
Now, she's smart, but she has trouble.
But
Miss Kitty will get all over
but
your head.
These things,
too.
You know.
Oh, yeah, she definitely will.
It's because I don't think parents take pride anymore. I take pride in the accomplishments of my child because of what the Lord has blessed her with ability wise, but also what he's blessed me with her. And the pride's not in what I've done. The pride's in what he's done.
Yeah.
And I don't think parents take that pride anymore. And it, you know, the old saying, I had a drug problem. My mama drugged me to church every time the door was. We don't have that no more. It's optional, and there's so many optionals out there now that
they got too many choices.
That's it. I told her one time she had so many clothes. I said, "Look, we fixing get a bag, and we gonna go down to 7 outfits. You gonna have one for every day of the week. There ain't gonna be no option." You know, if you run out, you got to, you just out. You're going to wear something dirty.
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah.
Dixie.
Well, me neither. And I told mine, I said, you'd have never survived Nana.
Right.
If she would have raised you, you would have made it.
Yeah. No.
That's why you don't go over there the more than you have to. Because she rides you.
You'd have had to sew it yourself.
Hey, my mama brought my daughter to me. She was about 18 months old at the rec fields in Blackshear. And she said, "You need to whip her." I looked at her. I said, "Excuse me."
Yes, sir.
I said, "You beat the brakes off of me." I said, "There ain't no way I'm going to whip her now. She done forgot what she'd be getting a whipping for."
Yeah. I went to pick mine up from my mother-in-law, pal. She said, "Mike, let me tell you what your daughter does." I said, "Well, let me just stop you right there." I said, "She's been at your house all day in your care, and I really don't care what she's done." I said, "If you don't like what she done, you got my permission to tear her tail up."
That's
it. I said, I don't care if she got up on your dining room table and used the bathroom. I don't care. She's in your care and your charge. If it wasn't for you, she wouldn't be here.
That's
so
it.
You got rights to do whatever you That's want it. To do with it.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
But I you know, that's the thing. We've got to take advantage of what God's given us. The opportunities, the friendships. You know, to me, when you walked up to me, Mike, and you said, "Oh, you're Keith. I had never met you. We were at a funeral." And he goes, I recognized your voice. And I was like, oh.
Right.
You know, but I thought about that, and that meant something to me.
Somebody was listening to the podcast.
Somebody was listening to the podcast. But
well, y'all knew I was a fan.
Yeah. So, you know, these things are important, and we want people to know they're important, and that if nobody else, find one of us four, and we'll be right there with you on these matters, because there's only one option.
There's only one side to fence. Hey.
There's only one side to fence to be on, and that's God's side, and it's listed in the Bible. We got that.
That's right.
You know, sure. We got to stand together.
Yeah.
For sure.
There's power in numbers.
Yes, sir.
There is.
There's more of us than there is of them. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing. There really is. And
we just got to be together.
That's my problem with the way things are now, is I know there's more people that think like I do than there are these other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So how it got away from us, I don't know.
Well, we turned the other cheek a little bit too many times.
Well, it took that too literal.
Exactly.
First of all.
Exactly.
Because if that meant I know he said that, but he also sat down and made a whip.
Yeah.
To go in the temple. So that means he sat there and had time to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It took him some time to make a whip.
Yeah.
So he thought about that thing. So it was premeditated.
Yeah.
And he meant that he was going to go in there and run them people out there. You ain't doing this in my daddy's house.
That's it. That's
it. I ain't putting up with it.
Right.
So that means there's occasions where you can stand up and say, hey, you got to stop this. Mm-hmm. We ain't having
this. Yes, sir.
Well, you remember when we were kids and we acted up, say, in the picture show or wherever they was some older people at, and an older man coming to you and say, hey, boy, straighten up.
Yes, sir.
And you did exactly what he said, and you did, and it didn't even bother.
Yeah. Nope. Didn't matter who it was.
It could be mama, daddy, or uncle. It could be
right.
Nobody does it. You know, yeah, nobody does that no more.
No, they do not.
Mm-mm.
So that there's a lot of what's wrong right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to offend nobody.
Right.
We had an event the other day. Well, not the other day, a few months ago. And one of the questions came up, you know, what has happened to the community? I said, well, the thing that has happened to the community is, I said, the community that I'm used to is if I was in wherever I was playing and we was doing something we didn't have no business doing, it didn't matter who house we was at. If
that's
we got
right.
out behind, tore up right there. And then they call your parents, and then you got another whipping when you got.
That's
home.
Right. You're embarrassing them.
But now. If you get, it just, you didn't even got to get a spanking, a whipping. You can just go with somebody just reprove you, tell you was wrong. There, then now you got a whole other issue. Now the parents gonna be fighting against one another. They gonna be holding grudges and all this foolery. And that's what happened to the community. Yeah, the community don't want to commute.
And that happens in Paris.
Yeah. No, and I said it's sad. I said it's so sad to wear. How is it that us parents know each other, there, but our kids don't know each other?
Right.
That's so crazy to me. There, I used to know all my neighbors when I was little. I used to know everybody that lived in the community.
We used to know everybody that lived across town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much. In Patterson, Black, wherever.
That's right.
And now there's a lot more. There's a lot more people live in these little towns now. Too,
that's
so.
Right.
And I guarantee you, half of them don't even know who to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy.
I go and on a rare occasion, I actually do go to Walmart or something in Douglas. These people in there, I don't know who in the world they are.
Right.
Or where they come from or nothing else. Or it used to not be that way.
No, it didn't. You used to know, if you didn't know who they were, you knew who their parents were, or who their cousin was. You knew the connecting person to who that was.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not that way anymore. And nobody's trying to do anything about it but us.
Right.
And you know, and we got to keep doing it. I don't care how taxing they get. I don't care. We have to, if it just be the four or five of us that come together and we just talk about what we talk about. We're gonna keep trying. We're gonna keep turning till the butter comes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and I'm telling you, I'm trying to get every person that's breathing to come November the 18th. Every man that's breathing, I'm trying to get them to come.
We're going to have some flyers for long. Keith, I know Keith's working on it. Ain't you, Keith?
Yeah.
Okay.
Air conditioning.
I stay on
it. Yeah,
flyers.
I'm going to bring some too, Michael. Try to.
Good.
Good. And the thing about this group, like right now there's four of us, but it's really bigger than that. It's
well, there's four of us on the line
right now.
But that, our
that's what I was.
Yeah.
But the fact that we know each other's praying for one another.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, not even that it's got to be posted. We're thinking about one another.
Right.
And and I think that's just such an encouragement. And then you start thinking about those that are out there that don't know that.
Yeah.
They're not encouraged.
Right.
And that's what we want to be able to do, is share with one another and say, hey, look, you do have somebody that's here for you, that's in your corner.
Yep. Some backup.
Yeah, yep. Some backup.
Get your prayer warriors together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Well, what time we at?
We're knocking down 1 hour and 12 minutes.
Wow.
Y'all can't talk about me no more.
Bunch of long-winded people.
No,
that's
it's Jamie.
Y'all can't talk about me no more.
Old Mercer done put us over the limit. Didn't
Man.
No,
it's good. I told you to be careful, Michael.
Yeah, well, we didn't get you too riled up, so I think we did pretty good.
Yeah.
But
we got to keep standing, gentlemen.
Yeah.
That's it.
I appreciate y'all talking to us today or tonight. And,
yes, sir.
Yeah. Love both of you, and y'all mean the world to me. And if you need me, you call
love
me.
Love you.
Yes, sir.
But
likewise.
That goes both ways.
Yeah. You already know it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
yeah, that's right.
That's Mike saying, you already know it.
That's it.
Anyway, Keith, you want to pray us out?
Yeah. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the men that are being touched, being reached just by friendships, by relationships. And we just ask you to continue to put us in contact into the paths of those that are in need. We ask you to strengthen us, encourage, help us to encourage others, to stand up, make a stand for you, and trust in you in every aspect of their life. And we just ask you to cover us with health and healing, safety, as we go out the rest of this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Hey, real quick before y'all get out of here, y'all pay real attention, real close attention to the foods and things that y'all are eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Pay attention to those things.
Well, they're trying to poison us all. They're trying to kill us all.
Yeah, they are.
That's why we ask the good Lord to bless it before we put it in our mouths.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that health be priority in your life.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
Yep.
Y'all have a good night.
Love you guys, man.
Love y'all.
Love y'all.
All right.
Bye.
Love y'all. Bye. Bye.